Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. Let's get to question Mark.
I got a little breaking news. Can I get breaking
get
news?
Get to the breaking news.
Yeah, go breaking news. Ben, do you have breaking news? Yeah, it is better. 8-10. John Lynch, Ring of Famer, Denver Broncos, GM of the Niners, will join us at 8-10.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So there you go. On the phone. Yes. Tremendous. Okay, let's get to question Mark. It is presented by Breaks Plus. Mark, if there, this comes in from Kyle, who asked, if there is one player you hope flashes this weekend against the 49ers, who would that be? Interesting question.
Hold on for 1 second. Read that, and you can text back and forth with John. They're heading over right now, so he said he might be able to join us in person. So,
well, that would be better.
Say at 8:30 in person.
Yeah,
8:30
in person would be great.
So, Scott, you hang on to that. I'm turning that over to our crack producer over there. Yeah, who was just basically not listening and filming this guy. So, while I was co-hosting and
producing
guests.
Incredible.
Yeah. So what was the question? Because I wasn't listening.
I'll expand the question. If there is one Broncos position group,
uh-huh,
you hope excels this weekend against the 49ers, who would that be? Or what would that be?
Oh, position group?
Position group.
Well,
start talking about specific points.
Okay, there would be two position groups for me. Okay? One, our wide receiver core. Because I think Witherspoon is one of the more talented guys at the cornerback position that has yet to really burst on the scene of being a great cornerback. He's one of those guys, those players that you look at and say, gosh, what a great athlete, but hasn't necessarily become a great player yet, and they have high hopes for him, I believe. And obviously you look at, you know, the opposite is true. Not a great athlete in NFL parlance. I mean, he's a great athlete, no question, but not in NFL parlance, but a really good player in Richard Sherman on the other side. So I want to see our wide receiving core burst out. And then I want to see our underneath coverage guys, our linebackers, our nickel guys, how they adjust to the running backs, how they adjust to the tight end position. Because Toilolo can play. He's not the most dynamic, elusive guy, but he can play. Obviously, we know what George Kittle has done to us and what he did last year. I think he had 85 receptions last year or something. He was outstanding. So those are the two position groups that I'm really looking, one on offense, one on defense.
Okay, but I think we're...
We kind of poo-pooed that.
Well, I just...
Just give it okay.
Well...
Okay, bud.
I just think that the pessimism,
mm-hmm,
or the questions that surround this receiving group are a bit overblown. You got Emmanuel Sanders, who looks dynamic out there.
Okay.
Who looks like a true number one should look like.
Okay.
And the other day, all their tight ends are out there, and I love the variety and versatility all these tight ends could bring, to the point where you're now talking about Fumagalli being used as a fullback / H-back. And once Theo Riddick comes back, I love the options that they have when it comes to throwing the football with their running backs.
Right.
So I just think that, look, offenses, the way that offenses are now in the NFL, you just got to kind of break through the boundaries of, you know, you need this receiver, that kind of receiver. I mean, yeah, there was a time where offenses were very reliant upon their receivers. But I just think that now with what you're getting out of tight ends, what you're getting out of running backs, and how they can be used so much more in the passing game and the variety of an offense, I just don't think the Broncos being thin at the wide receiver or being untested or unproven is as big a deal as you and others are making it out to be.
Okay, well, that's great. Hold on. Breaking news again. Ben, can I get breaking news? Can I get breaking news? Because I'm producing
you
at the
are
same
doing,
time.
I mean, I am.
I'm producing.
You are, Ben, multitasking.
Can you hear me, Ben? Can you hear me? Ben. All right, so John Lynch now is going to come join us live, so we may push that back a little bit and not at 8:10. So you may just want to just stay tuned here because John Lynch is on his way to Dove Valley.
Is he going to be able to find us in this fog?
I look at it just roll. Now it's all it was in the just in the sky. Now it's ground fog.
So where we're sitting, we have a great, great view of the giant, brand new Broncos indoor complex, right?
Yes.
It's now getting hard to see because of the fog.
It is. Sure is foggy in here. Can I buy you a drink? I mean, this is foggy.
Who once said, the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco?
It is.
Is that Hemingway?
Close enough. Hemingway or one of those guys that was smart.
Thoreau.
Tom Sawyer.
Wadsworth. Longfellow.
Longfellow.
What were you talking about?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Exactly. All the receivers.
I still think I get where you're coming from with the tight end. You tell me where has a big kind of explosive happened in the passing game in the first two preseason games? Have we had a explosive in that realm? Give me a running back, tight end.
In the passing game, yeah. Yeah. Royce Freeman had a long run, but I know what you're saying. In the passing game.
Not
really, not yet.
No. Well, we had Fort, who tore his ACL on the one seam.
Yeah.
Right? And that was, I don't know if that was, some people call 20-plus yards of an explosive. Some people call it 25-plus yards. I don't know where, I think that was 27 yards. So that would be an explosive. Right? Other than that, we've had one explosive from one player who's now out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. So you may not think that's important, but I happen to think that that's important. Like, to get some explosives in the passing game, I feel like that's important.
But why does it have to come from the receiver? Yeah. Why can't it come from the tight end? Why can't it come from the running back? Why does it have to be a wide receiver? Especially since I can already easily see some big explosive plays between Flacco and Emmanuel Sanders. No reason why that shouldn't happen.
Right, but it hasn't happened, and I understand.
Yeah, but Emmanuel's not playing.
I understand that, Mike. It can come from...
Well, then relax.
That's not my nature to relax. We need to see some explosives. We need to.
And it has to come from Cortland Sutton or Tim Patrick?
It doesn't have
to. In order to feel good about this offense?
It would make me feel better about a receiving core.
What if you ran a wheel route to Philip Lindsay that went for 45 yards?
That would be great.
That's an explosive play.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
I would love to see that.
What if you got Noah Fant?
I would love to see
matched
that.
Matched up on a linebacker.
Because that would tell me something about complementary football. You're not even thinking about this. If you get that done, you know what that means? That means your receivers are tying up two guys, and you're getting one-on-ones with a Noah Fant down the seam against a linebacker or against a nickel guy. Yes, that would be awesome. I would love to see that. That would be great. I just want to see some explosives. How about that?
RamosLaw.com text line. Is it just me? Yo, Mikey.
Yo, I like this guy already.
Is it just me, or is there no position you would draft in the first round? Not a quarterback, not a running back, not a tight end, not a wide receiver. If there's a position that I feel that you should always look to target in the first round, it's the guts of your football team. Dominant offensive linemen, dominant front seven guys. Those are guys I will always spend a first round pick on.
Totally agree. Totally. It used to be.
I mean, a running back, wide receiver, tight end? No. But when it comes to give me dominant offensive linemen or dominant front seven players on defense, yeah, that's I'll definitely take those guys in the first round.
Always. And I would always take defensive players. Dominant safety, dominant cover corner, dominant defensive line or edge rusher. Dominant, D tackle or edge rusher. Absolutely. A guy that could be a three down linebacker, dominating the run game and run like the wind and hit people in the mouth and cover and do all those things in space. Absolutely.
Like Devin Bush.
Yeah. He would be a no brainer first round.
No brainer. Man, if I'm sitting at 10,
yes,
grab that guy.
You know what? That's too bad.
That's right. That is too bad.
We're at full speed.
And for the record, I support.
I do too.
I supported the trade.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Good for you, bud. I get the feeling he doesn't care.
I don't think he cares. But the idea.
You think if you bumped into Elway, he'd know your name?
No.
I did that specifically for that soundbite.
I knew
that millennial
had that
was
ready
following
to go.
Along. He was ready. I love it.
What would he say if he bumped into you?
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Oh.
Hi, Mark. Been listening to you on the radio, Mark.
No, he'd give me a big hug.
Aren't you a snappy analysis analyst right now, huh? Look at you, Mr. Can't Shut You Up. Couldn't get you to talk when you were a player, but now he can't shut you up. Mark.
I don't like this game anymore. It's always fun when I'm on the giving side of this game, not on the receiving side of this game.
You know what? That's too bad.
I know. It is too bad.
Sure is cloudy out here. I'm kind of curious. Is this fog just like a, you know,
is it a
Dove Valley thing or is this like a Denver thing right now?
I don't know.
I mean,
can we get
some check-ins from like.
Is this an omen?
We need some like meteorology, our own, see, that's a word I can't say. Meteorology. We need some weather people out there to help us out.
What? Meteorologist?
Yeah, look at you. Nicely done. I mean, is this going
is
on
this
all
like
over the
a,
place? Check in, what? Brighton. Check in, Lakewood. Check in, Castle Rock.
Is like I really do want to know. Like, what does
check
what
in, is, Boulder?
What does this signify? Is this a is there an omen here that we can take from this?
The fog rolling in?
Yes.
I like fog. Fog is cool.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really cool. I mean, it's another word for omen. Portent? Is that right?
Portend?
Portend?
Yeah, this is
that right?
Does this portend something?
Portend?
Yeah.
Something?
Mark, Mike is just a hater, probably thinks Elway wasn't a great quarterback. Oh, my God. Please.
Hatery.
It's foggy-ish in Broomfield.
Mm.
All right, so thank you, Broomfield.
It has gotten, it's like, it's literally
foggy in Littleton.
Cold. It's actually cold right now. Let me just look at the weather.
No fog on Broadway.
Breach open.
On Broadway. Foggy in Littleton. Fog all the way up past Brighton. No fog between Fort Collins and Greeley.
It's down to 65. Fog. That's what
it's
it says on my
foggy in Strasburg.
Low tree. On my
Lone
phone.
Low
tree
in?
Says fog 65.
Foggy in Aurora.
All right.
So this
I mean, what is this? What is this? Like, what is this signal? What's the omen here? What lesson can we learn from this?
Well,
like this is like in the old West movies when some dude blows into town, you know,
like the outlaw, Jersey Wales.
He's a mystery guy, and he just rolls into town, saunters into the saloon. You know what he orders? Shot of whiskey.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Shot of whiskey. Got a six shooter on his side.
He's a cowboy.
Spurs
on.
Ka-ching, jingling.
Ka-ching.
Probably got chaps on.
Yeah. Tied his horse up in front.
They are not assless chaps, though. These chaps.
No, well, all chaps are assless. It's just that most people wear them over jeans.
Oh, that's great. He's got jeans on with his chaps.
Yes. You might want to distinguish that.
Yeah.
Only make that
mistake.
Doff made that mistake once.
Only once.
You
only
didn't realize you had to wear something underneath them.
You only make it once.
Made a lot of friends that day.
It's not only the Spurs that we're jingling.
And it's now officially a Friday.
I was at the ball!
It's now officially a Friday. We have arrived at that point, 8:14, just in time for when John Lynch comes to join us. He's going to be like, you clowns. All right, no, what is the four? Well, I am really optimistic. I'm glad finally somebody in the national media came out and at least acknowledged the potential for the Broncos.
Because, right.
Well, listen, I think they're an 8-8 football team. Okay? But
uh-huh.
I do see some room for growth, some potential that I haven't felt with this team the last couple years.
Correct.
So, I mean, I can't all of a sudden just jump out and say, oh, yeah, 10 wins. But at least I do recognize that there is some potential with this football team that I just didn't feel, especially at the quarterback position, the last couple years. And Tony Romo coming out, in case you missed it, Tony Romo having this to say on SiriusXM's Mad Dog Radio with Adam Schein about what he thinks of the Broncos.
I'm not into predicting anything, okay? That's first off. So I'm going to say, I think you're right. The team that sticks out to me, you know, in the AFC, I think the Denver Broncos have a chance to really shock some people.
Wow! I'm interested. Explain.
Well, they're in a very tough division, so it's going to be difficult for anybody to run off and go 14-2, 13-3, other than the Chiefs, because their talent level is just so high. So when you're in that division, every game is going to be difficult. But that reminds me of the old, like almost an old NFC East. If somebody got in, it's like they could win the Super Bowl because every game they played was tough back in the 80s and 90s. Well, this division has three or four outstanding teams, three of them for sure. Oakland, we'll see how that plays out. But you know the Chargers are really good. You know the Chiefs are really good. And I think that Vic Fangio is as good a defensive coordinator in his – you know, I think he'll show how great of a head coach he is. And you give him Von Miller, and now they went and got the one quarterback I think a lot of teams should have gotten this offseason in Joe Flacco. That right there shows me this team's going to be able – they have leadership on offense. They have a great defensive coordinator, a great defensive player. I think they're going to surprise – if they keep Flacco upright and they can block for him, this is going to be a tough team, especially if you have to go to Denver.
Who is this Flacco he speaks of?
I don't know.
I mean, the Broncos aren't scheduled, I think, to be a Nance Romo broadcast anytime soon, at least to start the season. I think we're in for a lot of...
Oh, they'll get him.
Will we?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't we in for, at least to start, maybe a lot of Spiro... Spiro and Solon Wilcox and...
So
there's anything wrong with
it. No,
I'm just saying.
I think
Don Beebe.
I think for sure you'll get, like, maybe not early, but
yeah,
I mean, you get the Chiefs and the Broncos. That's a big matchup.
But if they start to surprise,
right,
then maybe later in the season we get. So I just hope that happens, just to see if, you know, Tony Romo keeps calling him Flacco all the time.
Flacco. Yeah, that would be. Interesting. It's what I've said about this team forever. Like, the top 22, 25 guys, I think, are really good players. The odds of you staying healthy and not having an injury, can Ronald Leary stay healthy for the entirety of the season? You know, can Emmanuel Sanders stay healthy and productive for the entirety of the season? Can your running back position, can your tight end position? My tight end position has never been able to stay healthy in the last couple of years. So, like, there's a lot of, to me, there's question marks there. Because I think, and I'll stay with my initial analysis of this team that goes back to the OTAs, is I just don't think they have enough depth on this team. I think that's an issue, and we've talked about that. We've addressed the depth issue on this team. I think you saw it rear its ugly head in Seattle last week on special teams. Like, our special teams, and I told you, and I had it highlighted in my notebook, got their ass kicked. I mean, that's...
I asked you earlier, the position group that you want to see have a good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, everything on this football team... Everything
uh-huh.
comes back to the offensive line.
Yeah.
Everything. And I'm going to use your breakdown of this team over the last couple of years that we've been talking about it. You have said on more than one occasion, the root of all problems with this football team,
mm-hmm.
everything that has been wrong with this football team over the last couple of years, you trace back to the uncertainty, the changeover, the unproductive nature of the offensive line.
Yeah, over the last 2 years.
Two plus years. Everything roots back to the offensive line. So, to me, let's just start right there. The focus has to be on what's happening up front, because if I take what you say to be true, then if this offensive line is significantly upgraded, now all of a sudden you look at this team completely different.
Right.
The running game is different. The quarterback play mm-hmm. is different.
Right.
We already know the defense is going to be pretty stout, but just how much more stout can this defense be if they have the support of a decent offense?
Right. But you asked me specifically for this weekend, and I gave you the position groups, the linebackers versus their running backs and their tight ends, correct?
Yeah.
And I also said this linebacking underneath coverage core, linebacking core, nickel core versus – did I just repeat that? Our wide receiver in our receiving group, and then their – then our linebacker and underneath coverage versus their tight ends and running backs. Those were like the two things that I wanted to see, right? And you're bringing up the offensive line. I don't know what test you're getting this weekend, because historically, the last couple of years, what has really hindered the Niners is there's no real outside pass rush. By the way, the Niners buses are showing up right now. See that? Here they come. Three buses. Oh, there
are buses.
Four buses, not three, four people. That's a big staff. Anyhow, it was the outside pass rush. Well, this weekend or these next couple of days,
five buses.
Oh, no. These guys
mean business.
Yeah. Five buses, and wait, is there a car following the buses? Oh, my gosh. Police. They brought police because they've got criminals. They brought in criminals. No, they've got a police escort, I guess that is. So here's the deal.
God, I hope Lynch isn't listening.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, John. So I don't think D Ford or Nick Bosa.
Nope.
D Ford they got from Kansas City, and Nick Bosa, obviously their first round draft choice. I don't know that those guys are going to be playing this weekend. DeForest Buckner's still a really good inside player, but they have not had Solomon Thomas just has been an ultimate tweener. I know he's worked hard and all those things. He just has not provided the kind of explosive plays that you expected him as a first rounder. I think he was a third overall pick or something out of Stanford a couple of years ago. So first round pick in 17. So it just hasn't worked out like you'd hoped that it would have worked out.
Offensive line. You get good offensive line play from this football team.
Mm-hmm.
You just watch how everything else tumbles nicely into play.
Okay. Listen, man, I'm a believer. That's the backbone of any roster. If you don't have good O-line play, you're going to be in trouble. So that's great. I hope against a team that's minus a couple of DNs that are good players that have the chance to be, exceptionally good for them, I would think you should dominate that.
Then sum up your feelings for me right now where you're at right now when it comes to this offensive line. Okay? You've never been afraid to be very critical, overly critical,
yeah.
to the point where your name is mud over there in that building. The offensive line room?
I don't know about mud.
Oh, please. Please.
Cranky, maybe?
Please.
Mud?
Please. All right. I want an honest assessment of how you feel about this offensive line.
Okay.
Because I think it'll tell the whole tale of the season.
Okay.
And that's coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion. even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
So let's see. John Lynch.
Uh-huh.
Great, great football player. Bronco Ring of Famer.
Tampa Bay.
And
Buccaneer,
Tampa Bay,
Ring of Famer, too.
Ring of Famer, yes.
That doesn't happen very
just
often.
Just ask Warren Sapp when talking about Gerald
right.
Sploy.
That's
okay.
A heck of a rant.
Yeah. Okay. General manager and a former great TV analyst. Anything you want to learn from him, Mark?
Listen, I've watched John forever. I've learned a ton from John. He's he broke in my partner, Dick Stockton. You know, he broke Dick Stockton in. So one of the great men. You know, you have to have great mentors. As a player, I'm sure you had a mentor in front of you. As a broadcaster, maybe even as a general manager, you've had a great mentor. But is there a better mentor in anything in life in general than Dick Stockton?
He was unbelievable. I mean, I just so many of the vivid memories I have from growing up with the Celtic Laker games. That's where I remember Dick Stockton. And I always remember if he was on it, it was a big game. And so when I was like a little kid in the candy store when I got an opportunity to work with him. But you're right, he's seen everything. So every situation he can talk you through. And they say, now, that was perfect because of this, this, and this. And
right.
He's awesome. He's a good man as well.
Well, we welcome your 49ers to town. Thank you for bringing San Francisco weather with you as well. Well, how easy was it easy to put together with Vic and John the idea of doing a joint practice thing this week leading up to the game?
Yeah, there's a lot of great relationships, you know, that you know, John and I, Kyle and Vic, have known each other for a long time and have great respect for each other. Rich Scangarulo and TC McCartney from our staff last year. So there's a lot of great synergy. And I think we both have the same motivation. You know, these things always end up with people scrapping. But really what they're all about is finding a way to get your team better, to see some different looks. And I think we're in a good place now. We'll see you know, these guys, they've been beating up on each other, and so now you get another team. But I think the message has been sent to our players. This is opportunity to work against someone else, treat them like teammates. Let's try to get the most out of this for each team, and that's the mindset we're coming in with.
You know, it's really interesting because these things have kind of taken place in our day. The preseason games were important. You know, you get to that third preseason game, you're playing, you know, you're going into the third quarter. It's not that way anymore. So how important and how much have these kind of joint practices taken over the workload to get your players ready for the regular season?
Yeah, absolutely critical. I mean, we didn't suit 29 players in our first preseason game, and they were all our frontline guys. And so this kind of work, that's why we could make that decision, a little more of a controlled environment, you know, the amount of reps and all those things. And so this type of work is absolutely critical. And, you know, a lot of teams do one now. Some teams have turned to working against a couple teams. And I see that as kind of the wave of the future, particularly if preseason's knocked down to two games or something. I think these things will become vital.
You guys last year, and I got to do a couple of your games, and you and I talked quite a bit, but just the injury bug that hit you guys last year. I mean, you're down to your fourth string safeties and your fourth string receivers and your third string quarterback. And even though I know that was, you know, really hard as an organization, I look at kind of the overall depth you developed during that point in time. Has it almost been kind of a blessing in disguise for this season?
Well, it's a good way to look at it. It was hard to have that perspective last year, I can tell you that. But you're right. And I think just the progression that goes on, we're in year three. I think those experiences, you know, really hit home the need for not only those game-changing players, but the depth of your roster. I think we are a much deeper roster this year. And I think you're right. A guy like Nick Mullins getting that play time and performing quite well, we feel really good. That we're better equipped if something were, God forbid, to happen to at our quarterback position, that we can deal with it. And that goes with throughout our roster. A lot of guys got playing time and big time, you know, situations that will prove invaluable for us moving
forward. John Lynch, join us here at the table here at Dove Valley as we get set for the first of two practices. All right, the quarterback position. Jimmy Garoppolo is going into his sixth year. He's only played 26 games in his career. What makes you so convinced
this guy can be the guy.
Yeah, you know, I think first and foremost, the skill set, you'll see him out here. He can, he's a special thrower of the football. I mean, he's got some things that can't be taught, you know, in terms of the quickness of his release, the accuracy, the decision making, being able to see things move on the move. And, you know, he's got some special qualities. We, like everybody else, know that he needs to play. I mean, that's we made an investment in him because we saw all the qualities that we liked, and he changed our team in year one. He lifted everybody and made everyone better, and I think that's what the great players do. And so Jimmy's got to prove that he's that guy by playing. We all understand that. He's had a really good camp. I know a lot was made out of practice the other day. I will tell you that prior to that, he had thrown one interception in all of training camp. And so these are things you have to work through, and the only way to work through them is to actually play. And we tried to simulate, you know, okay, he's not going to be able to play. He needs this experience. How can we give it to him? We tried a number of things, but there's nothing like actually playing. And so we're excited to see him out here in this work. The good news is his knee is doing tremendous. His recovery from the ACL has been a really good one, and he worked diligently on that. He deserves a lot of that credit.
Give me a little insight into what you see with this Broncos team. I know you and Elway are great friends, but when you look at the Broncos roster in general, what's your takeaways?
Well, first and foremost, just being around Vic Fangio a little, both in the, you know, as a broadcaster way back to when he was at Stanford is when I first really started to become familiar with him, watching my alma mater. It's just good sound football, and his teams always seem to perform at a very high level because they do the little things right. And when you're around Vic, you start to understand why. You know, he doesn't talk a whole lot, but when he does, it's kind of like that old E.F. Hutton. You know, they're very poignant and powerful words. And you know, I think he's kind of steadied this building, it seems like to me. He's providing the type of leadership that they need. And I think there's some new schemes and things. I think Joe Flacco's a great fit. You know, I know he's a guy that, you know, we do these profile tapes for like quarterback at our place. Joe's all over those. And, you know, I think, there's a lot of there has been a lot of love for his fit in this type of system, so I think that will steady them as well. They obviously have some pieces in terms of pass rush when you got guys like Vaughn and Chubb and the other D linemen they have that are going to prove tough for other people to deal with. So I think there's a lot of good things here.
Right. One quick one about Joe Flacco. You mentioned Flacco, and I think when we signed him here, when they traded for him here, it was almost like wah, wah, wah for mm-hmm. the Broncos fans in general. I think they've warmed up to Joe Flacco. So when you kind of look at him and assess him as a quarterback, what is it that he does that for you makes him really tough to defend?
Yeah, I think, I think the thing that will surprise people, a little bit better athlete than people think. And, you know, he's always been good, you know, moving the pocket. When you can move the pocket a little bit, Joe has seemed to thrive over the years. He's a bigger guy. He sees the field extremely well. I think he's got a very talented arm as well. A lot of that, people, I think he went through that back injury and people thought he was losing some of that. Well, when you go through a back injury, your whole body's affected. It seems like he's come out on the other side and is back to the guy we remember prior to the back injury. And so obviously he's got to go do it, but I do think it's a really good fit for the Broncos.
What are we getting in Rich Scangarello? Because we're looking at somebody who hasn't called plays at even a major college level. What did he learn from his time in San Francisco that we'll be able to see, you know, obvious here?
Yeah, well, I think even before San Francisco, back to Atlanta, you know, I think the thing that I like about his resume, when he was an assistant in Atlanta, he worked with the O linemen. So if you want to get to know offensive football, I think that's probably the best area to go to, learn the protections and such. He has called plays at Wagner College and whatnot, but, you know, I think being around Kyle and really having a firm grasp of this system, I think where he really impressed me was that year we brought Jimmy in. We traded for him in the middle of the year, and his job was not only to get the guys that were playing, get them ready on a week-in, week-out basis, but also, okay, we traded for this guy. in the middle of the year. He's got to learn an entirely new language. There wasn't a lot of verbiage in the Patriots offense. In this offense, there's a ton of verbiage. How do you get this guy ready? And his work with Jimmy was spectacular. And letting Kyle know, here's what he can handle. You're probably putting too much. And I my respect for him grew immensely during that period. I think the way he handled that, these coaches work long, long hours, but he found a way to get Jimmy ready, and Jimmy thrived, and I think Skaggs deserved a lot of that credit.
How important is it to see what a guy is willing to put himself through to get the opportunity? I mean, this is a guy that left a college job that he was getting paid to basically intern for free in Atlanta and lived on a couch.
Yeah.
Like, how, for you as a general manager, you look at that and you go, yeah, how important is that to you when you make a decision, I want to hire this guy?
Well, Kyle talked about that when we started talking about his staff. You know, this is a guy I believe in. Now, you know, we're bringing him from Wagner College. I know that's not going to blow you, but here's what he has done. And
right,
he talked about that, you know, taking it almost for free in Atlanta and then going to Wagner College. That showed me a lot because he knew he had to go someplace where he could run a program, where he could call plays. And so he went to something that, you know, wasn't the highest level of football, but he was preparing himself for his next step. And fortunately for him, Kyle got the job and you know, things worked out. But I think he'll do well here. And, you know, it's first time for him at this level calling plays. But I've got a lot of belief in him.
What part of being a general manager of a football team did you have a thought going in that it turned out, okay, this, I wasn't expecting this part of the job?
Well, I think just the totality of the job. It never stops. It really doesn't. You know, it's a good day when you carry, I'm holding my cell phone around, and yesterday we had an off day, and the thing didn't ring, you know, and so that's a good day. Everybody stayed good and made curfew, all those things. But just the totality, you deal with a little of everything from personnel to the business side, because it is a football organization, you know, to you helping, you know, do everything you can to support your head coach. And it doesn't stop. I think the hardest thing when you're used to having some control, even in the broadcast booth, you had a role on game day. You work, and then you go sit there and you can't do a damn thing about what's transpiring on the field. That's a tough, it really is. And that's something I've had to lean on guys like John and Ozzie Newsome. Like, how do you handle this? And you learn just that, hey, you got to do everything you can, and then you trust in the team you've built. And it's going to be a little easier because I think we're further along in the process. I like where our team can be. We are banged up right now, but a lot of these guys are supposed to be coming back for week one, or shortly thereafter. And so, you know, I love what we have on the horizon.
John, man, it's always a pleasure. Always great to catch up with you.
Yeah, thank you as well.
Thank you, buddy.
All right,
thanks,
John, Mike, stopping by. All right, we'll come back and react to some of the things John had to say coming up next. Mark Hobnobbing, talking to 49er coaches and just chewing the fat. Sipping the tea.
I just bumped into my former teammate for the Washington Redskins. That was a cornerback for us, Martin Mayhew, world champion.
Oh, yeah, Martin Mayhew, yeah.
Martin Mayhew. And Martin Mayhew's still probably one of the best preseason games, the most unique preseason games. So we're playing the Raiders in Los Angeles, and we were supposed to play the first quarter of the game, right? So it's like the first preseason game, the first quarter of the game. We kick off to them, the Raiders. They drive all the way down to the 20 in like a 9-play drive, throw a pick. Martin Mayhew picks the ball, takes it to the house for a touchdown. We're up 7-0. The offense hasn't been on the field. Kick off to them. They drive it all the way down the football field to about the 12-yard line, throws a pick to Martin Mayhew. He takes it to the house for another touchdown. We're up 14-0. They drive all the way down the football field. We kick off to them. They drive all the way down.
We're in the second quarter by now?
No, we're still in the first quarter. We get all the way down the football field. They end up, the defense ends up stopping them. They kick a field goal. So it's 14-3. They kick off to us, we return it for a touchdown. It's 21-3 and goes into the second quarter. Starting offense has not stepped on the field yet. 21-3, and we're like, hey, can we undo our shoulder pads? And the coach is like, no, you're playing the whole second quarter. So we did play the whole second quarter, but yeah, we're up 21-3 without ever stepping on the field. That's a unique situation.
You don't see that.
No.
You don't see that too often. All right, thanks. We had John Lynch here, who looks great and looks like he'd still go out there and play right now. What a great player.
Oh,
what a gosh.
Great player.
He looks, he just like he had his neck welded shut. You know, he just like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Like, put a helmet on and go absolutely lambaste people.
You know, Lynch is so mild-mannered, so polite, so unassuming. There literally had to be a switch that he flipped when he went out and played. Because the way that he played, remember, I mean, this he played at a time where you could hit guys coming over the middle, and he did. You know, I mean, he never hesitated to blow you up. And but then to kind of marry that with the guy who is just was just sitting here, and we've talked to a number of times over the years, that's just so calm and cool. I mean, there is something to the idea of flipping the switch.
Yeah. John and I, we've had this relationship. You know, we played against each other when he was a safety in Tampa. We went out there. This is probably like 99. They had the best defense on the planet at the time. And they run this safety blitz where he comes rolling in there, and you know I'm tied up with a guy, and I have to come off late to get him, man. And he literally tried to break my neck. He hit me so hard, and you know, I mean, I got him, but it was like one of those like, oh, that hurt. And so we got to laughing about it as we're walking. You know, where the play is over, and we're walking back, and I go, come in there that hard again, and I promise you, I'm going to cut you in half. I'll take your legs out. Don't you ever hit me. Like, we joke around about it, but we've had this kind of relationship since we were playing that way. Just have nothing but the utmost respect for the player, the person that John Lynch is. He's a great man.
So why is it that everybody who just overwhelmed you with brute force, your comeback to them was, I'm going to cut you. I'm going to go for your knees. I'm going to cut you out. Why don't you just go mano a mano?
I did go mano a mano.
Yeah, by cutting their knees.
No, I went mano a mano that time, heads up. And I said, do it again, and then I'm going to cut you. It hurt. I was old. He was young. It was painful. I didn't like it. That's what you do.
Look who's out there.
Who is it?
Number 10.
Oh, is it Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Don't look directly into his eyes. You will. Like I said, you'll lose control of your bladder. Boom. Just done. Oh, look at him. Look at him. Got the knee brace on, the black jersey. You know he's got like a 3-day stubble going. That dude is handsome. Gosh, I wish I could.
Are you just gonna like almost like levitate from beyond this desk and just like float over there?
They won't let me over there because there'd be too much handsome in one area.
That's true. Like the field would literally tilt.
Right, they'd be like, "Hey, you can't come." I've got there's probably like a 30-yard restraining order against me. I can't get within 30 yards of Garoppolo because then you could frame us together in the same picture, and that would be way too much.
Can you recall an NFL player or maybe even any athlete that has had so much hype, been paid so well? For having done so little as Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wow.
Think about it. He has played 26 games in his entire 5-year career. Averages 5 games a year. But because he was Tom Brady's backup, because Papa Kraft chose Brady over Garoppolo, you know, there's a very good chance, by the way, that if Bill Belichick had got his way, follow me on this one.
Yeah.
If Bill Belichick had gotten his way, do you know who would be out there right now instead of Jimmy Garoppolo?
I'd wet myself. Mr. Brady.
Yes. Think about it.
I love Tom Brady.
All right.
You're right.
So Belichick gets his way. Turns things over to Garoppolo.
Right.
They do right by Tommy. And send him back to his native San Francisco, where he's from, and he's the quarterback of the 49ers.
And you know where we're broadcasting from right now? Back in the studio because of my restraining order.
It extends way beyond 30 feet.
Yes, yes.
30 yards.
Yeah, we would not be able to be on the same field that Brady was standing on.
We would have to be from studio. Live from the fan studios.
A comfortable 5 miles away from right. the valley. All right. Well, the sun's out. The fog is starting to burn off. That was weird.
It was weird.
But the 49ers are out there warming up. The Broncos will be coming out very soon. The two teams will have the first of two joint practices. And we'll keep you updated on what's going on out here, all the highlights throughout the course of the day. In fact, we'll turn it over to the Safety Blitz with Nick Ferguson and Orlando Franklin in for Nick.
I got an athlete for you.
You do?
G-Man just sent it to me. Johnny Manziel.
Manziel never got paid in the pros.
Well, he was a first rounder.
Yeah, he didn't get paid Garoppolo money. No way.
That's true.
Nope.
Yep.
Nice try, G-Man. Try again. All right. Orlando and John Davis coming up.